And 3, 2, 1. Stock rig, the full-on LS powered two buggies on stickies. This is the Total Off-Road Podcast. I'm Steve.
I'm Mike, and you're listening to episode 207.
Mike, did you do anything off-road this week?
Did I do anything off-road this week? I looked at Snow Day.
You looked at it?
Looked at it.
Did anything change?
I touched some of the parts.
Ooh. Did you caress them? Wait,
I caressed them. That's right. Oh my God.
Super quick side tangent about the Patreon. I have to send them a photo ID to identify that I am in fact the creator and who I are. Because apparently the reason you can't go to Patreon and search for Total Off-Road Podcast, I see you holding your hand up like you're like, what?
I'm like, what are you talking about right now?
That you cannot go to Patreon and just type in Total Off-Road Podcast and it'll pop up is because when it was registered as an explicit account for language. Well, that apparently has changed over to nudity and sexual content. So Total Off-Road Podcast is listed as like that type of explicit.
Okay, nudity, no, sexual content, sometimes.
Some derogatory content. I'm just like, I was reading this the other day. I'm like, oh, this is stupid. How do I exit out of this?
So if you hold up a today's paper and your driver's license, yeah, then they allow you to not be nudity.
They allowed you to be nudity, I guess.
Oh, to
I
be don't nudity. Know. Okay.
Yeah. Great. So like you can have like a 18 plus adult content on Patreon apparently, but they needed me to verify. I haven't done it yet. I need to get on it. I was really like looking for the, like, where do I click the button to not be 18 plus any longer?
I promise to take my shirt off in the Patreon. How about that?
Okay. And then we'll post a picture of it.
Yeah, that's great.
That was my side tangent. Hey, I went wheeling this weekend. It was pretty good. Went over for the NACSHA event, which was a pretty good event. Honestly, this year was pretty good. Got there right on time, right as the gates opened, you know. You believe that, don't you, Mike?
Oh, yeah. 100% mm-hmm. Believe that you were on time. You were the first person in the Badlands.
Pretty sure I got there at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in a hurry. went wheeling. I got into the quarry the same time that everybody was done taking photos. Wheeled around a little bit. Ran into Trey with his YJ or TJ. That he has talked to those guys for a little bit. We're going to go follow them around. And then they took off and went into the woods. And Kyle and I were too slow to catch up to him. We were watching somebody else get goofy on a mud wall. And so then Kyle and I just kind of putz around. I pitched the idea to Kyle. I was like, should we go? So last week we talked to DJ and he shared all these photos of, the Badlands from 2007.
Yeah, old school.
Yeah, all the old school photos that he shared. And I said to Kyle, I was like, we should go. I would like to go retake all of these photos today. And he's like, that sounds fun.
It's a good idea.
So we get to go kind of cruise around the park. It was super laid back. Just cruise around the park and go find the spots. I knew where most of the spots were. So I hit up a bunch of those on Saturday. And then the park closed at 5, so 3 hours of wheeling. I did not buy a bronze annual pass for $179.99. That didn't actually happen.
Ooh.
At the park. Yeah. Yeah. I did not purchase one, Mike. I didn't.
Wait. So, is the reason you didn't buy a bronze pass because you bought a gold pass?
I did not buy a gold pass.
Oh, okay. I was just checking.
But I did buy a bronze pass. I didn't want to tell anybody.
Because they're going to give you shit for the next year about how you don't go wheeling every Friday.
Here come the memes.
Here it comes.
So anyway, went to dinner and that was a good time. Came back, hung out with Brendan in the camper for a little bit and like shot the shit. Cause it was kind of chilly and we were in there drinking. And then when he went to go to bed, we went to the campfire, and the fire was roaring pretty good at that point, and it wasn't cold any longer. And then hung out at the campfire until 2 a.m. We took a photo like the last 10 or last five people at the campfire.
Oh, my goodness. But
at 1:59, I don't know if you know, last Sunday, at 1:59 a.m., my phone went to go to 2 and jumped to 3.
Oh, yeah.
And so then we shut the fire down at 4, and then I went to bed. And then I woke up at 9. I woke up at 6, and I was like, I have to pee. And like, just like peed out of the door of the truck, because I'm not putting my shoes on for this. It's just one of the conveniences, I guess.
That's the worst thing about camping, having to put your shoes on in the middle of the night, especially boots. Man, that's just the worst. Man,
they were boots with mud all over them. I'm like,
not happening.
I'm like, I'm surprised I didn't fall out of the truck, but I didn't. I maintained composure. But when I got up at 9:30 and went to the bathroom, like, I actually got out of the truck and went to the actual, like shower house or whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh fuck, I'm still drunk.
Nice.
And so then I went back to the truck and went back to bed.
Lovely.
Slept till 11, went and got breakfast with Kyle. We had breakfast together. Then Kyle left. I went out four wheeling, by myself. I got stuck. I used some crawler gear to get recovered by a side by side.
There were no trees around.
There were no, I was stuck on flat ground in the quarry.
Did you drive over a parking block?
I was trying to flex on a big rock, and there was another rock in front of it. And what happened was I tried to push on the rock, I tried to crawl up the big rock and slip traction. And as soon as I slipped traction, it dug four holes, and the rock that I was I was just over the crest of that rock, and the entire diff went on the other side of it.
Nice.
The entire front diff was on the other side of it. And I was trying to work myself out of it, and then I looked down, and the rear drive shaft has lost its sticker and a lot of its paint. And so I was like, oh, I've already done this not that long ago. Let's not fuck it up again. And so I just had them pull me off. It was super easy. Anyway, did that, wheeled around the rest of the afternoon, wheeled around until about 3 o'clock on Sunday. Got a bunch more pictures. Yes, sir.
I'm just saying, don't forget about what we're doing here.
No, I'm just wrapping this up.
Okay.
And then loaded it up, took it home. It put itself back on the trailer. That's Lovely. My wheeling. That was my catch up. Any other housekeeping we need to do?
Not as far as I know, but I don't keep a list of the chores that need done.
Let's get to the reason that you all are here.
And what are you drinking, Steve?
I'm drinking a Coke.
I'm drinking a Triptych beer. Surprise, surprise. Fly You Pools is a hazy double IPA. Hey.
Look at you know.
Hey, is there anyone else that we should ask what they're drinking?
What is it, man of the hour?
I'm here drinking water.
Drinking water? But it's Michigan water, so it's different. Michigan water hits different.
It's not Flint water.
You got that Flint water?
I have Flint water.
Oh, Jesus.
I was going to pour Wild Turkey in my Coke, but I'm going to be a good boy and not do it.
I won't wait.
Oh, shit.
Yep, I played Beam. Sure. BeamNG on my computer is way cheaper and easier.
How many parts did you break?
Yeah, the repairs cost nothing. I love BeamNG.
Yeah, you just take and hit, I call it the insurance button since it's the reset button, but abbreviations to insurance and you have a new car.
I love using the backup feature where you just like hold it down and it just like takes you back to where you were. So like when you roll your rig 8 times down a hill, you just like rewind basically to where you're back at the top of the hill and try again.
I hit the wrong button. Go back to like down by accident.
And you're like, no, I got to find that spot again. That was a good spot. Hate it.
Yep, that consists of my wheeling.
Does that mean you haven't done any wheeling lately, Jacob?
I do off-road every day, but actually wheeling, it's debatable. I mean, I guess my normal is my last wheeling trip was Hammers, so, you know, I don't know how you count all that.
What does I go off-road every day mean?
I make off-road parts every day.
Okay. Cool. So that counts as off-road. So if I go like install some stuff on my wheeling rig, am I off-roading technically? No. Even if I'm not wheeling?
No, I think I said I do off-road every day. I
do don't off-road
every day.
Do off-road and off-roading are different.
Yep.
Okay. Now we're clear.
That's my vote, at least.
Is off-road adjacent things?
I mean, I just count driving my little 24 scale RC and playing Beam as off-roading nowadays.
Man, I miss the days of RC wheeling. I do it once a year at RC Fest. That's it.
Dude, I got an SCX24 course in my showroom and at my house.
Damn, really? In your showroom, you have a course? That's awesome.
Yeah, we built one for PRI, and now it sits in the front room.
Is it pretty legit? Like, how long would you say it takes you to complete it if you're taking your time?
It's more of a knockout racing is that course.
Okay, so it's not like a technical crawling course. It's more of a, like, a 24 scale bouncer course.
100%. First one out. Okay.
Gotcha. That's still fun, though.
No, the one at home is sweet. It's like 3 foot by 12 foot of concrete, crushed concrete of everything from easy to can't make with a fully built 24.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that one's fun.
I would love to build a crawler course. Haven't had one in a long time.
You have a giant room upstairs.
I'm going to build it in between the track when I eventually make like an actual basher track. It'll be out there in the middle of it or something.
Yeah, that's where I love my 24. Like, you can build a coach in 2 minutes.
That's true. That is the nice thing about a small scale RC. I don't know. The 24 scale crawlers, my issue is I don't feel like they handle realistically enough because they're so bouncy. Is there a way to get those things like to actually like kind of handle to kind of like flex and not just there is? Okay, because I've never tried it.
Real world stuff of like once you take the springs and stuff like that off and just slam them on the ground, they work really well.
So do you have oil filled shocks for them?
I do on one of them, but they stick more than they're helpful, I think.
Really? I kind of figured oil shocks was like the thing that like they really needed that didn't exist. I didn't even know you could get 24 scale shocks.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of options for them now. There's tons of options for all of them now. Like I've got my four wheel steer portal tube chassis one that thing goes over anything. And then I had a hard body 4Runner, and that's what I bought the oil shocks for because it get all bouncy, like you said.
Is it a Kyosho?
That body is on a SCX parts.
Dude, that body is insanely realistic. I had a friend at work at my last job that had one of those things, and I just was in awe of how realistic that body was.
Yeah, I bought the body and then cut up a 24 since the 24 had all the good parts.
Yeah.
It worked like dog crap, even with having a ton of really nice parts, but it looked amazing.
Yeah, it was a looker for sure. But that one was bouncy in stock form. He had bought it as a ready to run, and he was just playing with it at the shop. But it was still pretty cool.
Yeah, being a hard body, they're too heavy for what we're talking.
Oh, yeah.
But no, those things, those are my current crack addiction.
I wish I could get more into the small scale stuff. For some reason, every time I get something small scale, I just lose interest too fast. Like if it's not 10th scale or bigger, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I had 10th and then I got into 24 and now I own like 6 of them.
Damn.
But I also did go out and buy like 4 brand new ones for PRI last year so that they were equal starting playing field.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So you were letting people use yours. You were like, hey, come hang out and use my junk.
Yeah. So I went and bought one of each. I bought the Jeep, the Gladiator, the Bronco, and the C10. And it was knockout racing. So you pick whatever one you want, line them up, and then the light would go green and first one up the top one. And dude, they got the living daylights beat out of them for 3 days straight and with zero issues.
Oh, really? You didn't break any of them?
No. Like the only thing that broke was I think the front bumper on the Bronco because it got dropped from 5 feet off the top of the knockout course.
That would probably do it. But zero, like all the powertrain, suspension, steering, just all A-okay after all that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Literally all day for, I forget what the show was, like 10 hours all day, every day. Just getting
God. Like, and these are probably novices too. These are guys that are just like hammering down. They don't have any mechanical sympathy. They're like, this isn't even my truck.
Exactly. 100%.
But that is nuts.
But no, they were a riot for that.
Wow. Sounds like a good reason to buy a 24 scale.
Yeah, really. Well, it sounds like they're about indestructible.
They are. That's where I wish we could have got Excellent Board to sponsor them because we definitely proved they were tough.
Sounds like it.
But y'all.
Yes, sir.
That's very cool.
I like that you guys just popped off on an RC, like just on a full RC tangent.
Hey, anytime I have the opportunity to talk RC, you know I'm going to do it.
I'm a fan of it. I like it.
24s are sweet. They can get them ready to run for like $120. Good to go.
That's the funny thing about a ready to run, isn't it? And you know as well as I do. I mean, obviously, like if I buy a ready to run, I'm already kind of upset because it's ready to run and I wanted to build it. But then if I do buy it ready to run, I'm like, well, I'm going to completely disassemble this thing and upgrade the hell out of it. And next thing you know, you're like $780 into a $120 RC car.
100%. That's where I'm glad. Stock ones, and I learned what to buy and not to buy.
Yep.
And now I've built a couple from nothing, like you said. And yeah, it's catch 22. And then I remember the $120 one's almost as fun as the $600 one.
Yeah, that's a good point. As long as you don't break them. I think that's my biggest problem is my favorite ones to drive are 10 scale monster trucks. And yeah. And don't get me wrong, the Low Z LMT, which I don't own one yet, they seem pretty tough. But the SMT 10, you got to drop $1,000 into it to make it any sort of basher. And so in stock form, it's like, nah. And then, you know, you get done building it and it's super fun. But, you know, now I'm $1,200 into it. So,
yeah, you worry about it. No, that's what I love with these. Even my built one, I don't mind handing it to somebody. And then the flip side is 4, 5, or 6 of them. And I got a course in my house shop. Like, here you go. Let's run all 5 of them and just follow each other around.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a ton of fun. And you can do it. And like you said, in your shop, you don't need a gigantic course or track or anything. You can just be like, hey, you guys are just over here hanging out. Let's just do this.
Well, and that's the way my house shop is set up where the race car is in the corner. It's got a sectional couch. TV on the wall, and below the TV is literally a 12-foot long rock garden that you can play for hours on with those little cars.
Man, that sounds like a hell of a space.
Works out perfect for when you don't want to actually work.
Yeah. And this is in the shop that ORA is in?
No, it's in my house shop where ORA is. Okay.
Gotcha. All the
work is the knockout small course.
So work and home are two different locations.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Slightly.
Slightly like they're on the same chunk of land?
No idea. But I do get to walk to work.
Okay, so it's close.
I walk across the road, so not same chunk of land.
Yeah, I guess if you get across the road, it's not the same chunk of land. You got to pay two sets of property taxes.
Basically.
So how did that come about? You were living in your house and the lot across the street came up for sale and you said, that's where I'm going to put my business.
No, actually rent. And I got a building. He's got a couple buildings. And when the one was open, I'm like, I want it. And needless to say, we made a deal. And so the nice part is most people don't know I'm across the road. So it's like still the disconnect without, I can still run back and forth.
Yeah, the disconnect is nice, though. If you have an angry customer, they don't like go kick in your house door. They just kick in your shop door.
Yeah. No, it's more the, hey, I'm going to stop by on Sunday night because I know you're there is not a thing anymore.
Oh, yeah, because you're like, no, I'm not.
Nobody's there.
Just make sure that nobody knows that you live across the street. And actually, we need to omit this from the podcast, so no one listening knows that either.
It's just like... As we talk about how nice it is, no one knowing, and we're broadcasting it.
Yeah, we kind of are. Well, I mean, if you really want to, we can have Kyle edit it out.
No, it's not a big deal.
I was just going to say, I don't know how many of your customers are actually like that, where they're like, oh, we're just going to come across the street and knock on your door while you're in the middle of eating dinner with your family. And like,
when it was at home, people totally would.
Wow.
Getting off of work late at 8 o'clock and, hey, I'm going to stop and grab stuff because I know you're there scenario. Mm-hmm. Once it's the disconnect, people treat it like business hours.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's probably excellent for you.
Yeah, it's way better. And then the flip side, too, is you can have happy customers of, hey, I can't get there till 6:30 and it says 6. And it's like, oh, well, no big deal. I can make it work. And they think you're going above and beyond when you're just like not walking half hour earlier.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it sounds like in general that works out pretty well for you.
Yep. No, I've actually been looking at possibly a bigger place, and which I lose that convenience, but the funny part is it's still just up the road.
So you can just ride your bike there instead of walk. I mean, you probably still walk, but, you know, it depends on how late you're running, right?
Yeah, no, I don't want to walk 2 miles.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good bike ride.
Ride the pit bike.
Then again, in Michigan, there's not that many days where it's a nice bike ride, right?
No, not in the wintertime.
No, for sure.
But, y'all.
So ORA is full time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it has been for, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was talking to somebody, I can't remember exactly, but no, we started in 2013. And I think it's been full time for probably at least 8 years.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know just exactly how lucrative, you know, it's been for you, and how, if you were, you know, able to do it as your full time job, or if you needed to have a daytime gig, or what the case was.
Oh, no, we got a couple guys that work in the whole nine of full up. That's the funny part, is it's a lot more of an operation than most people realize.
Yeah, you just never know with a fabrication company. It could be a guy's side gig, or it could be, you know, a 9-to-5. It could be any level of those things. And unless you're, you know, they're looking at it, it's hard to know. And I didn't know. I mean, Steve might have known, but I don't talk to you near as often as he does. So.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's what me and him were just talking before this was. Oh, why am I just flat out? I had a brain fart of the scalability and the knowing of size. Like, it's, oh no, that's not what we were talking about. Exactly what you said is, it seems like nowadays every random person has a plasma table in their garage because they're so easily obtainable. So it's very easy to look bigger than you are, or look or smaller than you actually are, however you want to word that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I had no idea the plasma tables were reasonable these days. Like, what is I assume when you say reasonable, you mean that I can buy like a Chinese plasma table that like comes in pieces and I like hope for the best?
Oh, 100%. Like, so you can get a Lingenmer, which is decent, but totally, like, I don't want to say Harbor Freight of plasma tables, but like, I haven't looked at one in a while price wise, but I think you can get a 4x4 Lingenmer for like $3,000.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. So, yeah, just about anybody could have a plasma table. I mean, that $3,000 Ungnaw is not cheap, but for a plasma table, it's pretty damn cheap.
Well, and the way I look at it is, when I got my first table, I spent more than that just on my plasma cutter, yet you can go buy it with theirs for that much, I think.
Wow.
But, and then that's, you know, don't get me wrong, I started there too, and competition's a good thing. And then the flip side that me and Steve were talking is, it's, you get people that don't have any overhead or any need to make money undercutting other things. And that gets difficult too, of flooding the market with things that are not the same quality for less. And then people don't realize what they're buying, or however you want to say that. That doesn't sound rude.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, think about Amazon. I wasn't there, but last week when Steve was talking to the crawler guys, they were saying, yeah, you can buy something that like says it's the same thing as you're buying from us on Amazon, and then it fails or somebody gets hurt or whatever. And you're like, yeah, but I just want it cheap, and cheap is all that matters. It's like, well,
yep.
Price is a thing, but like safety and quality also matter. So maybe go with someone that isn't, you know, an overseas asshole that doesn't give a rat's ass about your life.
So that's two rabbit holes that me and him were just going down of the, like, our alignment plates. Like, we weren't the first to make them. I mean, I've been using them for years of my hodgepodge version before we came out with our production version. But like, I've got a dealer that sells them on Amazon for us. He does fulfillment by Amazon. And he was selling hundreds of them a month on Amazon. And it was literally the number one product on Amazon. All of a sudden, sales dropped. We started looking into it, and the Chinese knocked them off. Literally, yep. My photos, my description, everything, and edited the logo out of my picture, put theirs in it, and wow. Then us. And then they didn't even go as far as taking Off-Road Anonymous out of the description.
Wow. They really, really knocked the hell out of you.
Oh, yeah. And so luckily, I mean, we got some of them taken down for infringement and all that hoopla, but like, and now it's just turned into the chasing your tail game. I have to check it once a month, report different ones,
And that's ridiculous, man.
That it's a copy of it. And so that's the extreme end. And so when people, when you hear people say you have a number one Amazon product and you're on borrowed time, I didn't think it was real. And it happened to us of it, you know, huge chunk of change that it just wiped out for us of, we still sell a ton of them per se, but nothing like we were because of exactly that.
Man, it's so weird to think about how somebody's entire career can just be being scammer, just completely stealing shit, scamming, just, you know, just like, I don't give a rat's ass about off-road. I don't know anything. And I'm just going to take this thing and I'm going to half-ass it and try to make some money. And then when they tell me to stop, I'm just going to go do it to someone else. And that's just my whole life.
That's the crazy part. They're popping back up with different business names.
Yeah, exactly. Because they can, right? So it's like, it's just wild to me that that's even a thing. That somebody's like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to steal all day, every day. Like,
well, and you can tell it's 100% China too. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But, and then the flip side of it, not to go down the negative rabbit hole, but like, it's crazy how true that is in the off-road industry for parts. Like, of how unoriginal people are anymore of, I designed this. It's like, no, you didn't. You found it on such and such website, redrew it, or bought the file, and now you're selling it as your own. Like, that's not cool.
I completely agree. But it's hard being a small business owner, or hell, even a big business owner for that matter.
Well, and that's just it. So that's exactly where I was going to take that anymore is like, it, to me, it's name of the game. Like, all these people are, you should trademark this and that. And it's like, to me, it's not worth it. Like, I'm just going to keep slinging as much new cool stuff as I can, hoping that, you know, one of the 10 items is a hot seller. And it's always on borrowed time from day one of, you know, things that we sold hundreds of last year, we sell tens of this year type thing. It's just of how the market will get flooded with whatever the hot item is. And then it's, nobody sells it because there's 100 options of the same thing.
Well, Off-Road Anonymous, if you ever get sick of stealing other people's ideas and making them your own, you can just rebrand as Jacob's Signature Series.
That's true.
Just saying, if you're realizing that all your products are just a knockoff of someone else, then just rebrand. It's that simple. That's all you got to do.
The funny part is, like, seems to be the name of the game.
Yeah, it's sad to hear, but hopefully it's working out for you, making cool new stuff that, you know, people want to buy.
So the way I look at it anymore, and honestly, like, ever since I've started looking at it this way on personal and business, is I'm doing me. You like it? Cool. Tag along. You don't? I don't care. I'm worried about me. Like, I know that sounds arrogant, but at the same time, like, you're so much happier. Just do you. Whatever works, works. Like, go with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of the funny things I get people all the time. Like, oh, you should make this or you should make that. And it's like, yeah, that's a great idea. But one, someone else already does. And two, like, that also takes a ton of time for R&D. Step one to getting it online, to then marketing it. To, like, it's crazy how much goes into even the simplest product, let alone complicated stuff.
Yeah, I can believe that.
But no, definitely an interesting game.
What's your hero product?
What do you mean?
What is your product that sells the best, sells the most?
So you're trying to get me to tell the Chinese what's my number one product?
Oh, never mind. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that on a private line.
No, I'm joking. So honestly, right now, our hot sellers are the alignment plates, like we already touched on, and the pack stuff. Like, and the cool thing with those, they fit so many markets. So that's where they're easy to sell.
Yep.
And so that's actually one big thing I've been kind of pushing and slowly been creeping out a little more is more variations of it. Like, you know, we've killed it with the universal stuff, but
yeah, you
know, whether side by side specific or the trailer wall mount specific stuff or shelf style versions, and you know, there's been a bunch of different iterations we've got a lot of them we've already got designed. It's just a matter of the public hasn't seen them yet because I've been a bum and we have them on the shelf but not on the site type thing.
People do love things that are specific to their vehicles, so you'd have to pick something super popular like a Razor.
Well, and that's where the side-by-side is what I we already have a couple specific side-by-side ones and planning to expand upon them. Along the other side of it is the Jeep side. Like, we've got one drawn up for the JK and one for the JL that actually bolts on to the inside of the tailgate.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea. People would love that.
It's super cool setup. And the downfall on my end has been a little bit of tooling issues, but hopefully here pretty soon we'll have that to where it's and actually it's a hybrid setup. It's pack out for like 2/3 of it. And then it's like the Molly style mounting for the other third of it to use, all the tailgate space in a sense.
That's what I was doing on my phone. I was going to your website. Do you have a three wide? Yeah, Packer. Technically. Two wide, three wide. Yeah.
Triple. Just listed it last week.
Okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure you didn't have that when I purchased mine.
No, because literally they just prototyping finally was buildable. So they went into production 2 weeks ago and they got listed last week on the site.
What was the hardest thing about that? Your brake width or?
Pretty much. The hardest part is where the pack out design locks into the mount likes to deform if you don't have it designed just right.
Oh.
And what it does is then it makes the lock bind and you can't get it back off. And that's so once you start getting that wide, you need a larger die to actually bend the metal. Mm-hmm. But the problem is once you go larger die, it's not supported properly and you get deformation issues and stuff. And so we've got some really cool dies that make it to where no matter what the design is, it doesn't deform. But then it starts getting sketchy of you're doing more than what that die is rated for scenario. Hopefully that makes sense.
You mean it's not just as easy as throwing in a sheet metal brake and just kind of...
Wapow. Just a wapow.
That's all you get.
Talking before this about machines over people of everything. So that's the cool part is once we load the file and have it figured out, it's just rinse and repeat type stuff.
Yeah. You got to manually break everything, like put the metal in there. It just has stops or...
No, it's all hydraulic and computer controlled. So you literally just put in numbers, hit the pedal, and it stops itself.
Okay, cool.
So
that's killer.
It's
important to listen to those things. That's why your stuff is so nice.
Well, and that's the big one that comes to mind. That's my arch nemesis, but we've got figured out, I guess, at this point is brackets. Like, you know, pack out doesn't matter if you're a 32nd off, but on a bend, but a link bracket sure does. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's where, you know, being able to put your bend value and backstop values down to the couple thousandth make the difference of a good fitting bracket versus a bad fitting bracket.
No doubt.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. That is definitely, and each metal, like, do you have any problem with different, one sheet of metal having different bend back than the next?
Some, luckily not a ton. We have a pretty good supplier of getting good stuff, but the rule of thumb around the shop is you check the first few parts every run. So like back to the link bracket scenario, you know, we've got a 2 5/8 spacer that matches 1 1/4 inch heim that sits at the brake of, you're checking the first 5 brackets that come out of it, that fits within spec. And then once, you know, everything does match, then you go through and do the additional 30 or 40 or whatever the run is. So generally it's consistent across the sheet, but yeah, it does seem like from time to time of, you know, yesterday it was 89.5 degrees and the day before was 90 type thing. Your couple decimals of degree or whatever it be.
Yeah, you know, metal is made up of a, you know, a blend of steels and stuff like that. So yeah, it's like, how fast did it cool? Yeah. How fast did that sheet cool? Or did it cool slower than the last sheet and things like that will make it, you know, change the hardness of it and how much spring it has in it.
Well, and that's what I've wondered. And I haven't actually done a study per se for us, but like, you know, everything goes from the laser to the sander to get oiled to then bent. If that all gets done within the same half hour, is it going to be different numbers than if you stop on a Friday and start back up on Monday and it sat in a cold shop over the weekend?
Ooh, interesting.
And I think that's where that's taken it extreme. I think that's the difference of 89.7 degrees in 90.
Uh-huh.
But
the literal temperature of the steel and the machines.
You know, every off-road guy is no taking a torch to it makes it easy to bend. So at what point does that material being 80 degrees versus 30 degrees make the difference of bend values?
Yeah. Right. You let that go all the way down to, you let that shop get down to 30 degrees on the weekends?
No. More of the, it sounded better. I think it swings like 2 degrees. I think it's 65 out there most.
65 and 67. Yep. It'll make a difference. That's fucking funny. So when are you going to start making Jacob Signature Series parts?
So
as soon as you get that project out of your garage, out of your
shop. I've been wondering this about Jacob. Do you listen to the podcast and hear how much we talk about Jacob Signature Series?
Oh, that's a funny story. So no. I was thinking about this when Mang reached out. When was the last time I listened? I don't know the answer to that because honestly, I almost think the last time I listened was the last time I was on.
There you go. And
the downfall is I like podcasts. I'm very much like learning things, like listening to things. My problem is depending on what's going on at work determines if I have to listen to music that is background noise, or whether I can listen to something I'm focused on. And it seems like the last 6 months have been nothing but you have to focus on smart things. So it's been music over podcast. So I have been wondering where this Jacob Signature Series things keeps coming from.
That would be your mind.
Like talking about it again. And then finally put two and two together that that's where that came from. So no, I did not know about it until recently.
That's funny. We've been talking about it for a long time. I don't even remember when or how it started. It's been so long.
I
tried
finding it and didn't find it because I was going to go back and listen. But so if somebody knows, let us know.
In a bit. 10, 15 episodes at least.
But dude, I bet it's been more than that.
Been more than that.
It's been a long time we've been talking about that. Like a long time. Like I feel like we might have been talking about that before we moved the studio from Ian's.
No.
You think it was that? Okay.
No. This is somewhat recent. This is within the last 6 months.
Yeah, it's definitely in the last.
Really? 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you, I have to know.
Maybe in your head you were saying Jacob Signature Series, but like within the last 6 months you were like Jacob.
So, you might be right. I don't know. I've drank a lot since then, and I was probably drinking a lot then too when I said
it. I think you were. Yeah.
That's when you get your headache.
Right.
Next time somebody finds that podcast with the first time it's mentioned of Jacob Signature Series, let me know.
So I've been wanting to buy a pack out cut mount for a long time, and I haven't. Obviously, Jacob would know if I had. And my biggest thing is like I'm not sure that I want to commit to a Milwaukee cup. But my second biggest thing is that I need it to have laser engraved Jacob Signature Series on it.
On the mount or the cup?
Well, yeah, but both sounds great, but I'd be happy with the mount. Like I want to look down at my dual Milwaukee Packout cup mount and I want to like see that like every time I look down that it says like Jacob. I assume it's like your signature Jacob, and then like in like block letters like Signature Series below it. Well, that's what I'm like, that's what I need.
It's got to be like classy cursive, like how I'd sign my name. Or are we talking like 4-year-old crayon Signature Series?
I mean, I was thinking classy cursive in my mind, but I mean, if you draw your signature like a toddler, then yeah, that's what I want.
I mean, think how much cooler that would be, and it'd be different. Like,
it would be pretty funny. Like it's Jacob, but the B is backwards.
Yeah, upside down.
I like that.
That's pretty funny.
No, so that's what I'd been joking is a good, better, best line. So the good would be the crayon font and the best would be the elite font.
Okay, then I want my Milwaukee Packout Cup bounce made out of titanium and I want the elite ones.
Dang, that sounds baller. You can buy the $30 cup. How are you going to buy a titanium cup holder?
That's a very good point. The cup is more expensive than the cup mount. For those of you who are wondering if you should buy a Milwaukee Packout cup mount, it's cheaper than the cup. Just do it.
I wasted a good Milwaukee cup as a display model.
Did you?
Well, it's still good. It's still got the label on it. It just sits in the shop on a mount.
There you go.
Just drink out of it sometimes.
I need to rotate it because I do use a Milwaukee cup every day.
There you go.
Rotate it out. I will say that I took my Milwaukee cup was still in my Milwaukee cup holder in my Jeep before I left for this trip. It is still in the exact same place as it's been all weekend. It never left that mount. One, because it needs to be washed and I actually need to go out there and get that. But I wheeled all over the Badlands. I didn't get too crazy this weekend, but still.
Well, since you wheel the Badlands every weekend, have you worn a cup out yet?
No.
That's a good question, though. Like, do the cups from all the vibration and everything, do they actually wear out before the mount? Like, do you have to replace the Milwaukee cup?
I wasn't sure if you were going to take that serious or take it as a he wheels Badlands every weekend joke, but.
He was being an asshole. Like, he's been an asshole.
But no, the technical side, I have not had a customer yet that has said they wore out a cup from the mount. Cause that's been my worry from day one is like they lock in tight, but at the same time, like if you take the cup in and out 400 times on a piece of metal, like does it chew it up?
That's a good point. I've never thought about it. So
I'm talking my own product, but like,
no, that's actually interesting. So if I paint a pack out cup mount and I like lock and unlock the cup a bunch of times, it's going to wear the paint off. Right. So it's going to rust. I'm going to have to like touch it up. Right. Maybe.
I don't think that would really be a concern.
No,
it's real easy. It comes oiled. Just don't paint it.
Oh, just okay. I just weld it and then just leave it bare.
I have shit.
Is we wipe every part with oil before it goes on our shelf for shelf life.
Well, sure.
I've had like, yeah, I haven't painted mine in 3 years and it's still not rusted. And it's like, what? We did a 2 month shelf life. Like how in the world is WD-40 holding up to that?
I will send you pictures of the pack of the grinder mounts that are in the van.
No, those would still be sanded, wouldn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they're sanded.
I'm just thinking equipment timeline.
Huh?
Where they're grained sand finish.
Yeah, they were grained. Yeah, they were ran through the plate finisher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are the new ones not?
Post sander.
You mean you took that step out completely when you went to laser?
No, we still do it.
Oh.
We don't need to anymore, but we do because it's awesome to put it short.
Unless you want to polish it.
That's actually, I didn't think about it. I need to talk to you about tumblers. That's the next thing buying or building is media tumblers. So then everything goes from laser to sanded to tumbled. No.
Oh boy.
Sanded to press brake to tumbled to on the shelf. More. So elite.
Why are you?
So everything's going to come out shiny?
So it does get shiny now. The tumbler will make it even shinier along with smoother to where
all the edges will
be. No sharp edges along with super nice finish.
I will put this to you lightly. I will put this to you in one way. Have you priced tumblers yet?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They're not. When I was looking at them, some of the ones that I had talked to the guys about, they were 30.
Yeah, but that's a nice one.
Yeah.
So cheap for 10.
Yeah. I've got
someone coming up that I can build for even less than that.
Oh, really?
But then we have to.
I saw some on Alibaba.
If you figure that out, let me know. I've been watching auctions for them.
I saw it on there like it was, they were sub $10,000 for one. It was a pretty big tub.
I want snail shell ones is what I want.
You want one with what?
The snail shell where they spin in a circle and you drop the door and it pushes your parts out.
That's the one. Those are the ones that we're looking at FabTech, and they were like 32,000 back in 2017.
Oh, that was a while ago. I was going to say, I was at FabTech.
Yeah, we were at FabTech. With what?
With Tradesmen. Me and Josh.
Oh,
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When did you go to that one?
When it was in Chicago last year.
Okay. While I'm asking you about, while we're talking about Josh, you going to drop some coin and come with me to Reno in 3 weeks?
Oh, you signed up for that?
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming this is part gets cut out of, I thought that was more for like his, what he, I can't think of what I'm trying to say. I keep wanting to say tradesmen, but, HVAC and stuff like that more than what you and I do.
No, it's going to be like leadership in general and business general. Yeah. Yeah. Not HVAC specific or anything like that.
For some reason I thought it was HVAC or whatever specific.
More along the lines of like, for me, it's more along the lines of what we're trying to do is figure out how to make the shop run smooth with employees.
Yep. Well, and that goes back to conversation.
Yeah, they don't make tools like that for my business.
I've had to build my own.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to be at. So yeah, I wanted to go to it to support Josh, and obviously go to like, and also obviously go learn something, but
instead of stuff like that of always what's the next thing.
Right. So it is April 4th. It's a Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday event.
It is tempting.
It is. It is, the 3rd and the 4th.
Are you guys trying to go to an HVAC convention?
No, we're going to a tradesman experience shop. It's 2 days, 2 day business builder.
Yes, gotcha.
Yep. It's how to deal with business is the short version.
Right.
All right. So why is your business listed as Traverse City Demolition, Jacob?
So that's who we rent the building from. So that's okay. Our neighbor technically, or that's who owns the lot.
I see. I'm like looking at this picture of this thing and it looks like some sort of, I don't even know how to describe this thing.
Trash.
Yeah, I guess it just looks like a bunch of trash. And then like there's a little tiny, I don't know, like a shack on this property. Is that shack your business? I don't mean to call it a shack, but like from looking from overhead, it looks like a shack.
That's small.
It's an outhouse. It's an outhouse with a two-way
labor table. It's like half the size of a pickup truck. Is that how big it is?
No.
Okay, then I must not be looking at the right place.
That's the outhouse.
Oh, that's the outhouse. Okay. Got it.
Man, that's fucking funny.
But if you just look up the address, like I noticed on your website, I just clicked it. I was like, oh, there's the address. I clicked it and it brought up maps and it just shows like a shack parked, like there's an excavator or there's an end loader next to it and it's smaller than the end loader. And I'm like, man, that's a really tiny business.
Is it quite a ways off the road?
Oh, yeah. Way off the road.
Okay, so that's not even what it's labeled as. It's all screwed up.
Oh, I getcha. Okay.
That's an asphalt company that's behind us.
Oh, yeah, that's the asphalt company then. I getcha.
So, yeah, if you move forward, then there's like four buildings.
Oh, and I see the buildings. Yep. All right, yeah. And you're one of those four buildings.
Yeah, ours is the big long one.
Oh, I see it. Yep, big long one. So like the third one back, but it's the long one.
Second one, there's three on one side and one on the other side.
And you're the one?
I'm the one in the middle.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yep. Cool.
I'll be the biggest of the four.
Nice. But yeah, not a shack. Bigger than a pickup truck by far.
Yes. You can fit a few pickup trucks.
Yeah, it looks like you can fit a couple of semis in there. Maybe you wanted.
No, back on topic. So the funny part with the Elite Series of where I struggle, because we've talked about it, of making a like extremely premium line of brackets that are set up for machined weld washers to go into a bracket to just be super nice. And we've actually got pieces of equipment in the works that would make that plausible. And then the flip side is, you know, at what point do you have too many options of the same thing? And then the other flip side is equipment wise. Like, so we, in the last year, upgraded to a fiber laser. So everything now is laser cut. And then we've got a wide belt sander that everything goes through. And from my experience, most people that have a laser don't sand, but at this point we had a sander. And so we still do it. And then the tumbler, it seems like nobody tumbles their parts. And they also, it seems like nobody oils their parts. And so the problem for us is we spend a lot of time oiling so the customer doesn't get a rusty part. And so the cool part for us with a tumbler on the investment side of it is we no longer need someone to hand oil a part while getting a better finish. All in turn allowing us to sell a premium part at a cheaper price than we were, in a sense.
That's why you're trying to tumble.
Okay.
So it's hands off while improving quality.
So hold on. A tumbled steel part, is it going to appear polished?
It's going to have a low. Well, okay. Yeah, you want to take that?
Well, so curious to what you'll have to say, but like, to me, my non-polished professional answer is I'm not doing it for the polish. I'm doing it for the rust inhibitor. The polish is the bonus. So in my scenario, it all comes down to what media, just like he, with what compound. So we would probably run a steel shop media, which would deburr the part while giving it a better finish, but we're going to tumble it for a half hour instead of, say, 2 hours. So if we want a chrome billet or chrome bracket, yeah, we leave it in for a whole day, but the flip side is you don't need a chrome bracket.
Yeah.
So it's tumble it for a half hour and pull it out, and it's still better than not getting tumbled, but it also saved us the half hour of somebody standing there oiling that same batch of parts.
I love that.
It's interesting. I just can't imagine obtaining, like, someone sends me, I order some brackets from ORA, and they come and they're like almost polished. And I'm just like, this is bare steel. Why is this like so shiny? Like, it almost seems like weird.
Right? The biggest confusion we get all the time is this stainless? Because it comes out looking like stainless.
Interesting.
And I can see none of our stuff is stainless.
No, just what do you, what grit is that plate finisher?
It varies, but I think the most common we run it on is, I think, 80 grit.
That's what it seems like.
Okay. The big difference is new belt versus old belt.
Yes.
I like a worn out 80. I don't like a fresh 80. But the problem is if we put a 120 on it last half the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mike, have you ever seen like raw stainless
grained,
not even grained, not grained, just raw stainless unpolished
like it's got dull gray.
I've seen raw stainless. I know what you're talking what you're talking about.
It doesn't have any brushing or anything like that in it, but like it's just this real dull shine to it. If you put your fingers against it, you can see it, but if you step away from it, you can't see anything.
Yeah,
that's essentially, depending on what media they run in that tumbler, that's essentially what your parts will look like.
The crazy part to me too is how, like, and I know soft's not the right word because there's nothing soft about steel, but mm-hmm. the test that we've been doing to figure out if it's the right fit for us mm-hmm. is crazy how smooth and soft the part comes out feeling. Like, not cut yourself in any way.
Yep.
Like, it's the weirdest stuff, but at the same time, the quality is amazing.
Mm-hmm. The it would be nice to have that. That would be a, I was wondering why you wanted a tumbler, but as soon as you said bypass the oiling or the rust inhibiting process, it's like, oh, that's a no brainer. You know, how much do you pay a guy, an employee every day to sit there? How many hours a day?
A lot more than that tumbler.
Yeah. Over time. Yeah. And then the cool thing about the tumble polishers and things like that is that you can call the company you buy that polisher or that tumbler from and tell them what finish you want. So,
yep. Send them the part, tell them what you want, and they'll tell you what to buy.
And they will custom blend you what you need. So it may be some steel shot and it may be some ceramic stone in there as well. So you can really dial.
What I do is set up a couple of them, different ones for different things, along with different.
Can I borrow your checkbook?
It's empty. I just because I keep buying equipment.
There is that. I understand.
But no, that's the cool part. Like we were talking earlier, and is we've got systems in place now that allow us to do a lot with a little, in a sense.
Yeah.
And the other flip side is we've got so many jobs written that are hands off. So like the really cool part with the laser is there's days I'll literally hit run on a batch of parts and go to lunch. Like it's not sit there and babysit. It's the, you hit run and everything is set up perfect to where stuff doesn't crash. Like you got your unicorn scenarios, but like, it's set up to where I'll go hit run and go back up front. Or I say that like I run the machine. I don't actually run the machine, it seems like, anymore. But but yeah, like they'll hit run on the laser and then they'll go run the press brake with the laser running in the background. Or they'll go sand parts or computer work or whatever it be. And it's efficiency. And like that's the thing I joke is, you know, everyone looks at steel's expensive, which it is. But the reason the bracket costs so much is because of how much you touch it.
Yeah.
Not so much the material. And so the more that we can automate, it makes it easier for the guys in the shop, along with it makes for a better product, along with all driving the price down. You get the whole full circle.
Yeah.
So, no, that's the next, hopefully here soon, big toy is looking, now shopping for, other than tumblers, is shopping for a automated CNC multi-axis lathe to, same thing, load the stock and start spitting out bungs and adapters and fittings and all that hoopla.
It's awesome.
I love listening to this.
Listening to what?
Just him talk about stuff in the shop.
Oh, yeah.
Have to make money.
Yep. Making money. It doesn't hurt that my phone's over here going ka-ching at the same time. That makes it even more fun. I do like that sound. Let me turn this off.
So I guess my question is, talking about the Signature Series.
Yeah.
My question to the listeners is, what do they want? Like, what do we need to be working on next that there's a void in the market?
I ordered a part from Kimball Midwest because they are. You what? Did you say you hate them?
Yes.
His is arch nemesis, Steve. How could you?
You're talking like hardware and stuff like that, Kimball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never ordered from them. I've never set up an account with them. I, for the last probably 6 months, have been getting invoices from them for a couple $1,000s.
What?
And they keep saying it's fixed. And now I have threats of, like, we're coming after you because you haven't paid your bill. And then I call them and tell them I've never ordered yet. Yeah. Don't even say I don't like them.
Oh, man, that's rough. How do you even fight that? You're like, okay, who is the rep? Who's my rep?
Well, the worst part is I know who the rep was, and he's the one that screwed it up, and he doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, so it is in the area.
So the rep, was a customer of mine.
Okay.
And came in, and he's like, oh, hold on, like, I can sell to you. And I'm like, cool, this is what I use, quote me.
Apparently he set up an account and then ordered stuff for himself and his friends, and it got ran on my account instead of his. Get
the fuck out of here.
What the hell?
Yeah. So I just got a new invoice today, which is why I'm freshly
annoyed
about it.
Oh my
God. And the funny part is they take stuff off every time to where it keeps getting lower. And I'm like, you don't understand. I've never ordered anything.
Yeah, take all of it off, not some of it, all of it.
And close my account. Anyway.
How far away are they from you?
I honestly have no idea.
I would drive in there and be like, fix this.
Or something like that.
Just kick the door in and say, what the hell are you doing?
Phone call is I'm not hanging up until you fix this, because every time you say you're going to call me once it's fixed, and then you don't call me and you send me a new bill.
Mm-hmm. So, my old sandpaper rep, who I used to get stuff through a Klingspor, he switched jobs because COVID messed up everything in his territory for sandpaper. His big thing was like diamond cutting blades for some of the construction companies. And then COVID just, whatever reason, it put a problem on that. And so sales were down. They were changing up how they were doing territories and like that. He was like, okay, well, while the writing is on the wall, I'm going to locate a new job. And moved over to Kimball Midwest. He came in one day, always comes in with a little flyer. You know, he's like, it's like the Matco man, you know. Like the guy, man, oh yeah, we got this good deal here. I'm like, do you know that all of your shit is really high priced, right? And he's like, yeah, we can do brake clean for like $6 a can. I'm like, $6 a can is really good. I know it's really good, but ain't fucking $6 a can good.
Not especially in bulk. What's wrong with them?
It's not even really in bulk though. Like you can buy it. You can buy it one can at a time
for $6.
Okay, I guess, but whatever. That's not a good price.
No, it's not. So anyway, that's just some of the pricing. Anyhow, they came in one day and he had a flyer. And in the old Doorbusters deals, they had a like a air chuck hanger guy, which is the most simple piece of flat steel thing with a magnet attached to it. And I was like, oh shit, let me get one of those. And so I bought it. It was $28. It's kind of expensive in my book. It is powder coated green, but at the same time, I'm like,
that way you sent me that said I need to make.
Probably.
Sounds familiar.
Was it green?
I don't remember. As soon as you said green is what triggered me to remember it.
Probably.
Oh,
I probably was like, Jacob, signature series.
Right?
It's super simple. Laser cut that sucker out, put one brake in it, and throw a magnet on the backside of it and bombs your own.
No, and that honestly, like, not to keep talking bad about myself, but that's honestly my biggest annoyance right now is, like we talked before this call of me and Steve, was the whole working on the business versus in the business. And lately I've been working in, and now it's time to start working on and start cranking out all this stuff we've been talking. All the systems are in order, all the nice tooling's in place, the right people in the shop, like 2024 is go time. And I totally hate the new year, new me thing, but like, yeah, 24 is going to be cool for us.
Yes. Mike, you know what would be crazy if there was like a conference you could go to in a state where there's off-road things real close by to learn more things about that.
No, that's the cool podcast I should be trying to get on, as Tradesman Experience. I don't know about that.
Me too. Maybe while I'm out there, maybe we can do some podcasting. Maybe I'll talk Josh into slipping back to his place and doing a podcast at his studio.
One side of me wants to tell you to talk me into going.
Let's go.
And then the other side's like, I don't need to put more on my plate.
Yeah, I don't know about that other side. I haven't talked to it, but the one side, let's go.
Yes, info.
It's not going to be cheap. But we should go.
Smart things aren't cheap.
Yeah. The
spoon.
What's that?
Are we spooning or do we get a twin double bedroom?
Oh shit. Yeah. We can do that.
That makes it cheaper.
It does. It would make it cheaper. Yeah. And I have the option of a king or two queens. Bring your earplugs.
I don't leave without them. That's the guys racing or loud enough that you can hear them in a different room.
Yep.
The guys, oh, they go racing.
No, I got to go with them too. They'll be going out there in August for Vegas to Reno.
Oh, cool. Hell yeah. He's talking about having another conference in October, maybe, but he's not sure yet. But I've been working with coaching on Josh for a while. And this is one of those things like, you know what? Drop the coin, do the thing, and just go. So here I am.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, I totally get that.
Yep. So that's what my plan is. You should do the same. You should come.
You're not wrong.
It's going to be a good time. Going to be a good time, mister.
I hope you guys have lots of fun at your HVAC meeting.
It's not an HVAC meeting. It's the guy that runs it used to own an HVAC company. That's all.
I'm just kidding. Jeez.
Gosh, Mike.
Just kidding.
It's a kid. Someone coming through on the computer. He got angry.
All right. You guys ready to move this thing to the Patreon?
Yeah, we probably ought to. I don't know how long we've been recording for.
A little over an hour.
Today, somewhere. Say an hour. How about that? An hour ago. Yep.
Lots of dead space, which isn't normal.
Nah. It's all good. You guys, the RC talk was the good part.
I always think that's the good part.
Yeah, I just bought a new kit that's talking about Chinese knockoffs. It's Lauren Healy's Ultra 4 and a 24 scale based off SCX parts that I need to put together.
It's a kit, huh?
Yeah, it's like $35 or something off Amazon, and then you'd use a SCX 24 as a donor.
Interesting.
And the funny thing is, it's his full color scheme, livery, the whole nine, but instead of his logos, it's their logos.
Huh. Yep, sounds pretty Chinesium.
Yep. But pretty cool.
Indeed. Man, it's crazy the stuff they knock off, but I don't want to get into it. There's too much of it.
Yep.
Yep.
We could just go and go and go.
So many things you could go and go and go and go. But apparently they have not started to knock off the Summershine supply yet. But they're thinking about it, I'm sure. Because we had an order shipping to, I presume, China of 3 cases of polish. So.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely going to blend your formula and they're going to use all your advertising. They're going to use your videos and just change the language you're speaking to sell it.
I wish I could say it was the first time. Have you seen how many ads have my video clips in them?
No, none, actually. I don't ever see ads for anything.
Oh, you don't see ads for anything? There's one company selling paint markers for like your tires and stuff. And it has like my video clip of me painting the tires on the Jeep.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And what do you do about that? You call them out in the post or do you take them?
Yeah, I just put a comment like, so do I get them for free or what? Right. There's another company selling a felt like polishing. It's like the same size as a Tiger Paw, like a 4.5-inch disc, but it's felt for like polishing the edges of whatever. And they use my video clip from me polishing the Milwaukee pipe wrench. It's a clip of me sanding it, but they like use that clip as if it were their tooling. And so in that, every time I see that one, I comment, so do I get free ones for being in the video?
Especially when it just happened, like, do you go full Doug's axles on it? Of, I don't know if you remember that whole story, but, like, okay, off-road community is tight. Like, at what point do you throw a post up like, these guys are knocking me off, go to town and just let friends take over your following per se of flaming?
The problem is, just like you were talking about earlier, how they close down and open a new business.
Yeah.
I think they can do that so fast. They can shut that page down, start a new page and continue on and not even bat an eyelash.
It's just a waste of time to even try.
Yep.
The other one that I get is I'll literally have people order like one tab, like, or they'll order a bunch of tabs, but only one, like one small of this, one large of that, one flange of this. And it's like, what are you doing with one tab? Like, but at the same time, it's a lot of the time something simple of like, it always throws me for a loop. Like, are you buying this to copy it? Because nobody buys one. But then the flip is, why would you buy a tab? Like, just make your own measurements.
Because, man, they want to buy your product. They want to buy Jacob Signature Series.
I mean, I get it. And we send it to them and they still get their free sticker and stuff. But like, it's just baffling to me that you buy a $2 tab and pay $9.95 for shipping.
That is a good point.
Weird. Honestly, I get the same weird stuff over here.
Just weird combo.
What's going on? Just finish already.
No, the signature series I need to do is a sale on the single raised cup mount that you're talking about.
Mine can just be flat. Raised would be okay too, I guess, though. But as long as it's got the laser etched Jacob signature series.
These are all pre-cut, so they don't have that.
I need laser etched Jacob.
I can't put it back in. Oh, I guess I probably could.
Ah, see now.
I have to try. No, I forget what it was. We were slamming through a certain part and those were perfect filler. And I didn't catch the fact that we were doing sheet after sheet after sheet of said part. And each one of them would spit out a spare like 20 cup mounts. Ooh. So then I know I had like hundreds of single raised cup mounts.
Oh my God.
So needless to say, I need to do a sale on them because we have a lot of them.
Yeah, and the single, I don't know, I guess the single wouldn't be a hard sell for some people if you were trying to put it, like, I don't know, out towards the door or something, but I feel like for a center console situation, you're always going to want the dual. At least I was thinking a dual.
I'd be curious to look at the numbers again, but honestly, I think the single is the most popular of the six options we have.
Interesting. I just kind of figured it would be the dual, but obviously you have the numbers better than me, so...
I thought so too, and I think we sell the most of the singles. But.
Well, whichever one you engrave be the one I'm going to buy. So I guess we'll find out where the Elite Series comes out. And
it'll probably be engraved with things you don't want engraved.
That's fine. I'm still putting it in Snow Day, and I'm going to post it and I'm going to tag you. So be careful what you engrave.
Well, that's dark. But Steve sucks, and then it'll blow up, and it's perfect.
You put Daryl sucks. Fuck Daryl. Is it Fuck Daryl?
There's a couple of them.
Was it Shelby sucks?
It was.
Well, it's been a long time since that.
Is that what you just said? Or did you say Steve sucks?
He said Steve sucks.
Okay.
So.
You do Shelby sucks, which is also funny.
What was the abbreviation? I never listened to the right episode to learn what the whole like 14 letter abbreviation was.
DBAP YWL?
Yeah.
I'll tell you on the Patreon.
I literally tried to figure it out for a long time and could never figure
it out. You will.
But I also didn't want to ask. Like, so I tried figuring it out and it didn't work.
Yeah, because if you have to ask, then you'll never know.
Exactly.
That could be the case. I don't know how you ever find out if you have to ask and you never know, but either way, let's wrap this thing up and get over to the Patreon. You guys ready?
Yeah, let's do it. I'll try to Craig it up.
Okay, obviously we don't have to shout out Jacob Signature Series.
You know what's funny? Sorry, I have to say this. I think this whole episode, we never actually said, hey, today we're interviewing Jacob, the owner of Offroad Anonymous.
That did cross my mind of how casual the whole thing has been of one of our off-tangent phone call versus an organized podcast.
Well, fuck.
There you go. You just did it. Edit that into the beginning.
On today's episode, we'll be interviewing Jacob of Offroad Anonymous,
aka Jacob Signature Series.
Also, Jacob Tuna.
Jacob Tuna, as he's been on the podcast text chat recently. Somebody put, hey, are you going to call Tuna? And I was like, ah, Tuna. And they're like, Steve's like, oh, I'm going to use that. Because the phone knows the word tuna. It does not know the word tuma, unfortunately.
Yes.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure your entire childhood was just getting called tuna, so you probably had plenty of it.
Not a tuma.
It's not a tuma. That's so funny. It's not a tuma. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, that would have been the right era.
That's funny, man. That's hilarious.
That's fucking now when you're in your late 30s.
Oh, yeah.
Early 40s. Now it's fucking hilarious.
It's okay. Wonderful.
Let's wrap this thing up. Hey, go check out Complete Off-Road to get your other off-road parts that you may need. And you can check them out at CompleteOffRoad.com or 563-583-5363. You can give them a call and they will help you find whatever you're looking for. If you need to get your inflation, deflation stuff going on, check out Morflate. They have got all of the goodies for that. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, stop what you're doing. This one's over. Go back a week. And go check out Crawler Off-Road. They got a bunch of new stuff coming out. Got a little more insight on that over the weekend. Some of the old behind the scenes. And let me tell you, I am super excited for what they have coming out. So if you need some synthetic recovery gear, make sure you go check out crawleroffroad.com. Check out summershinesupply.com. Because why shouldn't you go get cool stuff to clean your ride? We've got all kinds of stuff from metal polishing to full detailing and foam cannons and wash kits and all the products. So if you're interested in getting your ride clean, make sure you support me even more than you already do. I appreciate you. And Toolbox Widget. They are the cool groups that we're working with to organize the toolbox. So once you've got your organizational stuff for the shop from Off-Road Anonymous, it's time to move on to the toolbox. And that's where you go to toolboxwidget.com. So make sure you check them out. They are a supporter of the podcast and they have cool stuff. Is there anybody I'm missing? Am I missing? I feel like I'm missing somebody.
You have Morflate. I almost don't know if you got Morflate.
I got Morflate. Yeah, I got Morflate.
Yeah. So is the top 10 still a thing? Because I'm pretty sure that's still a valid discount code on my site.
Hell yeah. TOP 10 still working over on Off-Road Anonymous.
I'm pretty sure I see that
so often. And the producer of our podcast is probably your number one super fan. So,
yeah, he is. He yelled at me frequently that I haven't been doing deals of the week.
I was going to say he's also probably your social media marketing guy.
He needs to be.
Yeah, no kidding. You know what, Kyle? Quit fucking around with planes. Why don't you just go to your real calling?
I'm pretty sure we've talked and I need someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Only other person that we're going to shout out would be Rad Designs. So go check out what Rory is doing at raddesigns.com. Is that it? Are we done with the podcast? Mike, have you any words?
You know, I don't because I never think about that anymore.
How about Jacob? Jacob, you got any last words?
Other than thanks for having me, I don't think so.
Well, we appreciate you coming on here and being on the podcast. It's always good to talk to you. Hence why I called you ahead of time, because I knew that that was going to end up being a lengthy conversation, because it always is when we get on the phone.
So back to hashtag Steve sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Is your ahead of time to kill time a half hour later than the correct time still ahead of time?
Because
technically this was supposed to be 8 o'clock podcast land.
You
called me 30 saying that you're running late and then talked for hour before starting an hour late.
I call it late because it's 10:30 in Indiana and I'm still awake.
Yeah, we should do some. Okay. I don't know if it was late, earlier, wrong, or on time. I'm not entirely sure. All right. Tell Craig to shut this thing down. Thanks for joining us for episode 207.
Yeah, sounds right.
And we'll catch you on the trail.
Later.
Outro music. Cut that out.